good morning. Why don't you stay standing? I want to read this over you this morning. So God, and this goes to what Grant was saying earlier. So God has given both his promise and his oath. These two things are unchangeable. I want you to receive that. In a changeable world, there are two things that are unchangeable: God's promise and his oath. Because it is impossible for God to lie. Therefore, we who have fled to him for refuge can have great confidence as we hold on to this hope that lies before us. This hope is a strong and trustworthy anchor for our souls. It leads us through the curtain into God's inner sanctuary. Come on. Come on. No matter what you hear, no matter what is happening, these two things are unchangeable. God's promise and his oath. What is his promise to you? His promises are yes and amen. His promises are good. His promises are you have a hope and you have a future. His promises are that he will never leave you or forsake you. His promises are that you are valuable. His promises are you matter. Come on, let's receive that this morning. Have a seat. Thank you, worship team. You guys are fantastic. I heard that the McKittricks have flown away and flown back to be with us. Is that right? Or is it just one part thereof? One part thereof. Great to have you here, Matt. As you fly back to your seat now. Anybody want to see that?
Yes.
If you're online this morning, welcome. Great to have you here. I just believe that there's something significant that God's wanting to deposit in us and among us this morning. And it's not my words, it's what he's wanting to do. So I'm actually excited about it. So these are not my words that I'm going to read. It's a guy called Justin Camp. And it's it, and I'll let just go with me here. Just for a moment, try to picture a world where everyone around you is kind, caring, encouraging, and willing to help you. Everyone, spouses, family members, acquaintances, colleagues, bosses, political leaders, presidents, they are for you. Picture a world where people are quick to try and understand, quick to apologise and quick to forgive. Imagine that everyone around you is healthy and thriving, fully who God made them to be, passionate about their work, but with plenty of time for rest, fellowship, and celebration. Imagine a world where people love God, where everyone is confident and pleased with who they are, and each person works hard to love those around them. He goes on, we don't live in that world. We will. Rest assured, it's coming. But our world today is quite different. And that is the reality, isn't it? Even as Grant talks about some things this morning and the stuff that we're being bombarded with in the media tells us that our world's pretty messed up. From a spiritual perspective, the reason behind a lot of what goes on is that an enemy rules this world because humanity has given him authority. And there you go, John 10:10, an enemy who wants only to steal, kill and destroy. An enemy who wants nothing more than to pillage and plunder our hearts and the lives of everybody who lives in this world. And if we go back through history a little bit, See, he's been doing his business. He's been plying his trade for quite a long time. And people needed protection from the darkness. And family units were a person's support network. Those flesh and blood groups met physical, emotional, and spiritual needs. They provided for basic physical and material well-being. They offered protection from dangers, both human and natural, and a sense of belonging and a layer of accountability. It wasn't a perfect system, but it was better than braving the darkness alone. Enter Jesus. Everything changed. His ability to love and care far exceeded anything any human system could ever provide, even the strongest families. Jesus took the idea of family to an entirely new place, a whole new level. N.T. Wright calls it an alternative family. For those who don't know who N.T. Wright is, he's a very well-regarded Bible scholar. You might call it a support network of the ancient family, but turned up to 100. This is the ancient clan, but overflowing with the Father's love under the noble rule of Jesus, animated with the most potent force in the universe, the power that created the stars and planets and every living thing, the power that conquered death. This is the power of Christian community. Or the Jesus family. It's available now. Everyone and anyone who wants to can be part of it. So today, I want to look at a new family. I want to look at a new family. And as I speak this morning, I am aware that when I say family, that there is a whole raft of people here that have had a whole variety of experiences in family. Reality is, none of us come from a perfect family. Personally, I'm very, very thankful and grateful for my family. And I am blessed to come from a good family. But I understand I'm talking to people and that may not be your experience. You might have experienced stuff in family that you're still battling with. Church can be a lot of things to a lot of people, can't it? If I went around here this morning and said, hey, why are you part of a local church? Why do you come to church? I'd get all sorts of different answers. There'd be those that would give a really right and proper theological answer. And then there'd be others that sort of give a feeling answer. There'd be a whole lot of reasons. But church actually is, and Jesus tells us that church. And he says the church, because people, if you choose to follow Jesus, if you've chosen to repent from where you are, turn around and follow him, you are the church, but you're also his family. And then when we think about a local church, like this one, the local church should be our spiritual family. Like I said, it can be a lot of things and it can be a lot of other things, but I think more than anything, we've got to get hold of the fact that the local church needs to be our spiritual family. And when you choose to follow Jesus, when you are obedient to him, he actually says, you are my family. And so let me unpack this a little bit as we go this morning. If you have got your Bibles, if you've got your phone apps, I want you to, you need to highlight this morning. So Mark 3, 31 to 34. And I've read this a lot of times, but there's another angle on this that I've thought about this week. So, verse 31, then Jesus' mother and brothers arrived. Standing outside, they sent someone in to call him. So here's the scene. This is a really interesting thing. It's sort of quite humorous because here we have Jesus and we understand who he is, what he achieved, and we get all that. But right here in this situation, that wasn't clear to a lot of people. And Jesus has started to minister. He's got crowds following him. He's saying things that is rocking and upsetting the religious system of the day. And there's pressure coming to bear not only on him but his family. Imagine this. The religious people are coming to Mary, his mum. By this stage, we assume that his father, his earthly father, Joseph, had probably passed away. But people are coming to Mary, his mother, and saying, you got to do something about your boy. He has gone too far. So here he is. He's sitting in a house. There's a crowd around the house. There's a crowd inside the house. His disciples that he's actually called, specifically the apostles, are sitting with him at this point. But outside the house is his family. And they turn up. They can't get in. So they send someone in. Oi, Jesus. Your mum and your brothers are outside and they want to take you home. They've come to get you. You've gone too far. Before you mess this up any further, they are here to take you home. And verse 32 says, a crowd was sitting around him. And they told him, your mothers and brothers are outside looking for you. And then he has this most bizarre response when you look at it on the surface. He says, who are my mother and brothers? Then he looked at those seated in a circle around him and he said, here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does God's will is my brother, sister, and mother. Wow. Yeah. This is radical. So Jesus was the master of using a very natural situation or a very natural story to illustrate a very important spiritual point or principle that he wanted to get across. So here's a very natural thing. You know, you've got Jesus running ahead of where most humanity could even understand. His own family are starting to feel the pressure. They're embarrassed. They're wondering what's going to happen and they think he's gone too far. And in this moment, he actually grabs this thing, turns it upside down, and he uses it to illustrate something really important. And the scene teaches us that Jesus not only established his kingdom, he established a new nation, but he's also establishing a new family. And he wasn't downplaying or discrediting or rejecting his own family, but rather showing that when we choose to follow him, we're part of a new, radical, dynamic, powerful, loving, and accepting family. A family that the darkness cannot overcome. A family that's always got your back. A family characterized is the word, by radical obedience to the revealed will of God. A family it sticks closer than a blood brother because it is the family of God. Jesus right now was redefining family. He was reorientating the thinking of his followers. All right, who's been let down by family? Come on, we all have, haven't we? In big ways and little ways. We've been let down by family. And in this passage, Jesus was let down by his own family. They thought he'd gone mad. They thought he'd gone too far. They didn't understand what his mission was. They just didn't get it. And so Jesus is no way playing down the importance and the significance of our family. And just before I go on, I want to say this. And this is written by my friend, James McPherson. And he says, God created three institutions for the betterment of society. And to each he gave a specific function. God created family for the propagation of life. He created government for the protection of citizens, and he created the church for the proclamation of the gospel. Now that's another whole message. When those things get out of kilter, society gets messed up. And that's the world that we're living in at the moment. But that's not where I'm so much wanting to go this morning. So family, government or state, and church. Jesus was reprioritizing relationships. He was reassuring his disciples of his relationship to them, and he was revealing the mark of a disciple or a true Christian. So, and that very much is obedience to him. I've often said we can come to church, or we can get the revelation that we are the church. You can attend, and you do a lot worse than that, or you can be. See, if you just attend, it sort of works while you're amongst it. But if you be, that can't be taken away. So to embrace this new family that I'm talking about here, number one, if you're taking notes, allow Jesus to reprioritize your relationships. Wow. That's a bit heavy, isn't it? Allow Jesus to reprioritize your relationships. And sometimes we say, oh, I don't know, I'm not feeling connected, or I'm not getting it, or I don't know, this church thing isn't working. Well, if you're going to be part of the Jesus family, he's going to have to do something radical in you. He's going to need to do something radical in me, and he's doing something radical in us. And he actually says, okay, I'm going to do it, but you're going to have to let me reprioritize your relationships. Yep. That's good. What does that look like? You see, Jesus had called 12 to follow him here. And the pressure is mounting on the outside. His own family are wanting to take charge. Who's ever tried to do something and your family have tried to take charge? I mean, someone's a good thing, someone's a bad thing, but that happens, doesn't it? The religious people are saying he's possessed. And inside this room, inside this new family that he's talking about, he's teaching and defining the kingdom. Outside, his family saying he's lost the plot. So with the pressure of a loving mother, perhaps angry brothers, and they weren't bad people, they were good people. This is Mary, for goodness sake. This is Mary, the woman that God chose to carry the Son of God. She had the purest heart that he could find in the land. And right now, the pressure is mounting on her. And in Jesus' time, where he'd like his family to back him, they're not quite getting it. They're not bad people. And his brothers would have been getting angry. They're feeling the pressure. But in that moment, Jesus maintains his spiritual priority. And I'm not saying you've got to stop this relationship or do that. Maybe God is going to ask you to do some of those things. But it's all about, first and foremost, maintaining our spiritual priority first. Who's ever felt like it's hard to be part of a Christian community with the pressures of family? Come on. We all get it, different levels and things like that. We, Alex and I are at a time where kids are busy. You know, like our weekend starts Friday night, we've got sport. Saturday morning, we've got sport. Saturday afternoon, we've got sport. You know, there's all these competing things. And then somebody's lost the plot and That's me. Mostly. Here's what I think. If we want to be the best we can be to and in our physical family, let's maintain our spiritual priorities. Jesus first will not shortchange your family. Jesus first will not shortchange your family. Can I say that once more time? Jesus first will not shortchange your family.
That's good.
Why do families break up? Oh, I put Jesus first and my family broke up. Families break up normally because somebody is putting self first. See, Jesus first reprioritizes and allows you to be the best you can be to and in your family. Yeah. I'm not saying there won't be pressures around that. Some of you walk in situations where you know somebody in your family doesn't share your faith. I understand there's tension in that. But Jesus won't let you down in that.
Yeah. It's true.
All right, to embrace your new family. The second thing that Jesus did is he reassured those that were sitting around him. Because here we go. He's got the disciples sitting around him. Jesus would have been sitting down, he would have been teaching. And it says they were all sitting in a circle around him. So he's got this inner circle of those that are closest. Then he's got the crowd. And then there's another crowd on the outside of the house. And then out beyond that is his family. And they're trying to get from the outside in to take him from the inside out. And in this moment, the disciples, many of whom he's called to leave what they were doing, they have let go of businesses. They have walked away from family businesses. They've disappointed fathers. They've made mothers unsure about where they're going to follow Jesus. They're all sitting around him. And his family is saying, hey, Jesus, enough's enough. Come on. Let's call this thing before it gets any worse. So they're looking. What's he going to say? What's he going to say? And he looks at all these people that are close that have laid so much down. And he says, you are my mother's brothers and sisters. He said, there is something here even more powerful than our natural family. And he reassured them that just because the pressure was on a little bit, he wasn't going to walk away from what he called them to.
Yeah, wow.
Jesus looks at you this morning and he says, just because the pressure's on, I'm not going to leave you. The people here, and recently you've made choices. You've made choices to follow a different life. You've made choices to lay some stuff down. And that hasn't been easy. There have been repercussions of that. It's all going on. Jesus says, I will not leave you. Make me your first priority. And he wants to reassure you. So in this circle, they were able to be reassured by Jesus. Why? Because they had proximity to Jesus. Imagine if all the disciples, they were outside, you know, they were running around doing different things on the outside of the house, and this situation happened. They wouldn't got the reassurance because they weren't in the proximity of Jesus. It was because they were in the proximity of Jesus, he was able to say to them, look at them in the eye and say, no matter what's going on out there, you are my mother's brothers and sisters. You need proximity to Jesus. Look, who's super, super secure that you never need reassurance? Gaynor. We all need reassurance. And Jesus knew he was dealing with people, and he reassures them of their calling. He reassures them that they are family. But to get that reassurance, we need to be in the proximity of Jesus. Sometimes we wonder why stuff's not working because we're not in the proximity of Jesus. We're not in his presence. We're not in his word. We're not spending time with him. We're not around him, and then we wonder why we feel disconnected. Oh, I'm not coming to church this week because I just don't feel it. Oh, I'm not going to get to Connect Group because I don't feel it. Have you been in the proximity of Jesus? So I guarantee, if you're in the proximity of Jesus, you'll be assured that you are part of a family. The other thing that was going on here was that they were in a circle. They were next to each other. And it's interesting, this reassurance happened while they were together. So we need both. We need proximity to Jesus and we need proximity to each other. Proximity to our brothers and sisters, because so often the Holy Spirit talks through people, and it was actually in this group setting that Jesus chose to say, you are my family, you are my brothers and sisters and mothers. You need both. You need proximity to Jesus and you need proximity to your brothers and sisters in Christ. All right, to embrace your new family. Number three, allow Jesus to reveal himself. You need, I need, we need continual revelations from Jesus. How does that happen? Watching the news, getting filled up with more negative talk. Having a good gossip session about your boss. Getting with that bunch of friends where you just always talk about negative stuff. It actually happens by being in the proximity of Jesus. But you know what? It also happens, verse 35, whoever does God's will is my brothers and sisters. It's actually, you know what is powerful about obedience? Because sometimes we can think of God just like a high school principal. Any high school principals in the room this morning? Pete's had a bit of a go in that sphere. And I remember thinking about my high school principals. I had some classics. We had this high school principal. His name was Rex Batt. And he was quite short. And he used to, this is the legend anyway. But he would, when you went to him to get the cane, I went to school when you got the cane. And he would stand on the chair and jump off the chair as he brought the cane down just to get a bit more power in it. That was Rex. And we sort of think that obedience is just about somebody on a little power trip needing us to obey the rules. Who's ever felt like that about God? Oh, I could be a Christian, but he's going to ask me to stop something. Why should I stop it? I enjoy it. You see, when you do or live God's will, you break the power of darkness over your life. See, Jesus didn't say, you do my will because I'm on a power trip. He said, do my will because as you do my will, as you're obedient to me, what you're doing is you are submitting to me, letting me fill you with my power and my presence, which overcomes the darkness around your life. Yeah. And sometimes we wonder why we can't get breakthrough in different areas and stuff, but obedience to God actually allows the power over the darkness in our life. It's not actually about him being on a power trip. It's not about him taking away stuff from it. It's actually about him adding to you, because he wants to add to you freedom and authority to live the life that you're called to live, rather than it being controlled by a darkness that's around you. So allow Jesus to reveal himself if we want to be and want to embrace this new family. The last thing I want to talk about in relation to this new family are distractions. You see, the family of Jesus sent someone to call Jesus away from what he was supposed to be doing. Yeah. Jesus was spending time with those called from the outside to be on the inside. And now his family, who are on the outside, are calling him to leave the inside. And the disciples were watching closely. And here's the thing. I think sometimes we start to get a revelation of the family of God. And we start to feel the protection and the benefit and what it means to be on the inside. But then the call of those things that are on the outside, that have no revelation or concept of the power on the inside, are speaking to you to try and call you away from the inside to the outside. You see, and it can make so much sense in the moment, but you've actually got to adjust your thinking, you've got to reprioritize your relationships, and you've got to get that reassurance from Jesus that what is being said from the outside is said from ignorance, because it doesn't know what is happening on the inside. Jesus calls us from the outside to be on the inside. Have you noticed also that the pressures of people on the outside so often want you to leave the inside? And it's not always just people, it will be stuff. Grant spoke this morning about reprioritizing the way that we feel about money and what's in our hands. But from the outside, what have we got from the outside? From the outside, we've got interest rates. From the outside, we've got mortgage pressure. From the outside, we've got the cost of living. From the outside, we've got a media telling us that it's going in a certain direction. But see, that will actually say, no, I shouldn't be here because I need to focus over here. You know what? What you focus on is what you get. What you focus on is what you get. If you focus on the cost of living, You're going to get the cost of living. I'm not saying it's not there, because it is. It's impacting all of us. But it's actually about adjusting. If we're continually focused on those things, that is what we get. And that is on the outside trying to pull you out of the safety and the hope and the future and the environment that you actually have in this new family. Sport, work, all these things. They're not bad, they're good. Alex actually won the Teacher's Pet Award last night at hockey. She did. She won the Teacher's Pet Award. She's got a picture. Have a look on her Facebook. No, it's not on her Facebook page. But she's wearing a hat called the Coach's Pick, because she played really well and she did what the coach asked her. And I watched her. I was very proud of her. She played a great game of hockey. Sport's good. It helps us. It does a whole lot of things. But again, it's about priorities, isn't it? It's about where we sit things. You know, like if the hockey club is more important than our spiritual family, well, we've got things out of kilter. Because as good as hockey is and the friendship and the fun and everything that Alex can have in the hockey club, it is actually not going to give her life. It is not going to give her security. It's not going to give her protection. It is not going to give her future like her new family, the family of Jesus. That's about reprioritizing. Jesus is not saying to Alex, don't go and play hockey, because he needs her playing hockey. He needs her as salt and light in that hockey club. He needs her to speak life into the people around that team. But it is about the priority. Yeah. Hey, how about this one? Disappointment. I was in a church for a while, but somebody hurt me. Somebody said something really dumb. No. Or they didn't get me, or they used me, or they this, or they that. Come on. We're a new family, but we've also got a physical, natural edge to us, haven't we? We don't get everything right. You see, in that moment, that's that pressure from the outside saying, hey, you don't need to be in there, because they don't get you. In fact, why don't you stop going to church? Why don't you stop going to Connect Group, because you won't get hurt. You won't have to put up with the idiots. The preacher won't talk too loud. All these things won't happen if you go to that place. And actually, you can get on YouTube and you can pick your own sermons. In fact, you can Google up whatever you feel you need that week. Ooh. Ooh. I just need something to... Actually, my relationship's not going so well. I'd like to leave. I just need someone who'll tell me and reassure me. You know, there's just a whole lot of stuff that is so dangerous when we choose to take ourselves out of the proximity of family. Because even that person who was insensitive, who said the wrong thing, maybe God might even use them in spite of their own insensitivity. Come on. I feel this really strongly, because we are living in a world where the darkness actually wants to break apart the family. It's trying to destroy, as we've watched, particularly for the last 100 years. Bang, bam, bam. Values, legislation, thinking. It wants to destroy your physical family unit. And it's always been there against your spiritual family unit, but it's been coming fast and it's been coming hard. At one stage, when I grew up, it was just somebody ridiculing me about going to church. Oh, you're one of those, yeah. I mean, I grew up in East Devonport. Like, it was a tough neighbourhood. And you know, you didn't want to appear to be soft. So if anyone asked me, "Do I go to church?" Nah. But now it's coming in legislation. Now it's coming. Oh, raft of things. And I don't say that because we don't have to fear this. Because Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. That the church will continue, but we've got to adjust our thinking. We've got to reprioritize our relationships. We've got to get that reassurance and we've got to get revelation from Jesus and choose to follow him. Because you know what? He has called you to be part of a new family. He's called you to be part of a dynamic where you can live in a dark world and you will not be pulled down by it, but you will be salt and light in that world. Come on, you need your family. We need our family. I need to be in a family like that. You need to be in a family like that. And it's going to happen because we reprioritize. And the other thing is, when we get revelation and reassurance from Jesus, you know, some of the dumb stuff people say becomes less of an issue. Because as good as Pete is, and as learned as he is in the Word, he's not Jesus. He's working on it, but he's not. So he can talk to you about a little piece of theology and you're thinking, I don't agree with that. Well, it's easy. You can park that because he's not Jesus. You just get yourself back into the proximity of Jesus and he's going to use the brothers and sisters to rub the edges off and you will find yourself functioning well in a family. Come on, we got to get this. I believe that we're being called to a season where he can do something in us that actually, you know, what's different about the church? What's different about followers of Jesus? What did Jesus say should be different about the followers of Jesus? He said, people will notice the way that they love one another and say that is different. That is different. That is different. Actually, I want to be part of that. I could be part of that. I could be in that new family because people who are not on the inside, who are misinformed on the outside, that they won't get a lot of things while they're on the outside. But what they will get is the way that you talk about your brothers and sisters in Christ. What they will get is the way that you put yourself out for your brothers and sisters in Christ. What they will get is the way that you love one another. Jesus didn't say that there would be much else that would define us from everybody else from the outside view. It's the way that you love one another. Come on. We are that family. But our challenge is, are we living as that family? Are we allowing Jesus to reprioritize our relationships? When we get hurt, are we going to him for reassurance or are we going to somebody that's going to agree with our point of view? And are we in a place where we are getting constant revelation from Jesus? Because it's his revelation that actually makes sense of some of the stuff that's going on around us. The team want to join me, please. Who needs to breathe a sigh of relief? And accept assurances, even in the midst of darkness. I want to pray for some people this morning. And I think there are people here and you're feeling the effects of the darkness. And the Holy Spirit is actually going to reassure you that you're part of his family, that you matter, that he's called you. Jesus assures us, even in the middle of unspeakable darkness. Matthew 10:31 says, so don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. And basically, the context of that is Jesus said, our Father, think about how many sparrows are flying around. Have you seen that funny thing that happens on this side of the world? Because they brought them over here and nobody adjusted their navigation system. And at a certain time of year, they all gather to migrate. Around and around they go. I think they might be the starlings, but I've seen them. Huge groups, tens of thousands of them, flying around. And they gather, and then it doesn't work for them. They go back to what they were doing. And even in what would seem to be their own lack of direction, God knows when each one falls. It says He knows every time a bird hits your window. And then it says, how much more is He concerned about what you're going through? So He says, don't worry. Breathe out, and He's got it. He's got it. And how has He chosen for you to find security? How has He chosen for you to find purpose? How has He chosen for you to find protection? How has He chosen for you to experience a sense of value in His new family? And the amazing thing is, so much we need to get hold of as a local church, but you're part of something just much bigger than a local church. You're part of His global, eternal family. Wow. This morning, if you don't know if you're part of that family, and Jesus said, well, how do you be part of that family? He said, actually, it's through obedience to me. Well, what is obedience in this sense? It's actually to say, well, I've been trying to do my life and not everything is working. Lots of things might be good. There's something that's not right. There's something that's missing. And it actually is to turn around, from where you're going and choose to follow Jesus. That's what obedience to Him is. And this morning, I want to give people that opportunity. Here's the prayer that can lead you to that place. First of all, you've got to acknowledge that Jesus is the Son of God. Not just a prophet, not just a good man, but He's the Son of God. And He came and He lived on this earth. Here's the hardest bit. To acknowledge that in your humanity that you've mucked some things up. In fact, in your humanity you can actually never be right with God because He is perfection and your broken humanity. That's hard for some of us to reconcile. That's the bit that separates so many people from coming to God. But that's the obedience bit, because we say, yep, I need You. Sorry for that. Thank You for dying for me. I thank You that You paid the price. You were the ultimate sacrifice for my garbage, for my rebellion. And from this day forward, I want to follow You. And we just bow our heads, close our eyes. Online. Hey, if you're on your own, bow your heads and close your eyes. Even if you're with people, I challenge you to do it. And I ask this question. Are you in the new Jesus family? Do you want to be in the new Jesus family? If that's you, I'm going to lead you in a prayer right now. So just while heads bowed, eyes are closed. If that's you, I just want to know who I'm praying for. If you're online, please send us a message. Say, hey Dave, that's me. I need to do that this morning. If that's you, just give me a quick wave and I'll know who I'm praying for. Just while no one's looking around. So hey, I need to do that. If you're online, send us a message. You know, this is not about joining a religion. It's not about joining a cult. It's actually just about being part of a spiritual family. If that's you, just say, "Hey, Dave, that's me." Maybe there are some others here. You know, you've prayed a prayer like that, but you just... the pull and the power of the darkness sort of separated you from where you need to be, and you need to just re-establish that. If that's you, just give me a wave. Say, "Hey, Dave, that's me." Praise God. Praise God. Is there anybody else? Let's pray together. If you're online, engage with this. Lord Jesus, I thank you that you're the Son of God. I thank you that you love me. Thank you, you love me so much that you would die for me. From this day forward, I choose to follow you. Forgive me of my sin. Fill me with your Spirit. Thank you for saving me. Amen. Awesome. Awesome. If you gave us a wave, we'd love to encourage you and catch up with you. If you're online, by all means, we'll find a way to connect if you get in contact with us. As a local church, we're not perfect. There are times when we think about family and we think, "Oh yeah, we could have done that better." And I think we'll always feel and think that, because we're part of broken humanity. But I want to encourage you to really focus on reprioritizing those relationships. Let's choose to be family. You see, when you choose to be on the inside, there might be people here this morning and you feel a little bit like you're on the outside. We invite you in to be part of what's happening on the inside. But we can't make you. We don't want to make you. You choose to be there. And you're actually, you know what? You're as close to Jesus. You're as close to the core of his family as you choose to be. So for some of you, I think, as you think about things this week, as you think about things now, maybe it's just take a little step closer. For others of us, it's just living a little broader, living a little bigger, saying, "Who? Who can we include? Who can we include in our world? Who can we include in our life? Who can we bring with us on the journey? Who can I love just a little bit more like the way that Jesus loved?" I'm going to close the service now. But if you need just to come and stand, and I just believe there's some people here this morning, you need that reassurance. And through the Holy Spirit, Jesus wants to speak to you. He wants to speak to people this morning. Please come forward, and we're just going to stand, and the team will gather around people and pray, and we'll just speak those reassuring words that you are part of a family. You're part of something. Let's stand.